I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by Peter Queeley and Kevin Curtin, and we've got Owen Murphy as well on the line, so he should be tuned in as well. So good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good afternoon, Eric.
Good, thanks, Eric.
First of all, Owen, will we go to you first, seeing you're out there driving away somewhere. Tell me a little bit.
Huh? I hope he's not driving.
He's on hands-free, I think. Okay, Owen, can you hear us?
Loud and clear.
Good man. Tell me, what do you think about this this match next Sunday? How you look forward to it?
Yeah, really looking forward to it. I'm not sure the condition, I suppose, for myself. I suppose I finished up in there myself before Christmas, so I put the gear into the attic, but it hasn't gone too far into the attic, so I'll be able to take it out. And look, I'm looking forward to meeting some of the lads again. It's amazing how fast the time goes by, and meeting my own colleagues from Waterford and bringing back memories of great days against Cork as well.
Good man, and I suppose you're reasonably fresh, so still, I suppose, aren't you? You'd be expected, there'd be a lot of expected coming out of you now, I'll imagine.
Well, I'm not sure.
Peter Queeley is nodding his head in anyway, saying he should be.
Yeah, because I think they were fairly courageous now. I think I was put in midfield, but maybe I'll be brought back defensively, maybe be 40, but having Peter there around will help as well, you know.
Yeah. Okay, thanks Owen. And Kevin, tell me, we have a pretty big squad or full squad for this already? On both sides?
We have, yeah. We have two really strong teams named, which is great. A couple of guys on either side, or Wayne Hall is, are unavailable for whatever reason. But the teams that we picked bears a greater resemblance to the teams that would have been picked playing championship back 10, 12, 14 years ago. It's really great that all these household names are coming up to support the cause. I'm sure they're looking forward to getting together for the day as well and meeting friends and foes alike. But it really is all about the cause, and the All Cancer Support seems to have struck a chord with both players and spectators, and there's a really great buzz about the thing. But it's great to see actually teams on paper and people are starting to talk about it and look forward to it.
Yeah, there is quite a bit of talk around the place at the moment in East Cork, certainly anyway, but about I think I probably see that these two teams are much the same two teams would have played in the opening, the killer pitch, I think. Did Cork play Waterford back then? Peter, were you involved that time?
Yeah, that was
quite a while. I remember.
It might have been a little bit before the major rivalry started. Be more kind of late 90s, I think. That period.
Yeah. Was open. And tell me, when was the last time you donned a Waterford jersey?
A good while ago. 04, Eric.
Was it? Yeah. So you must be looking forward to getting back into it again.
Look, I think you might have mentioned it there, like, you know, about meeting players, you know, comrades and foes alike, and these are great occasions for former players, you know, all over the country, you know, because you get to they're relaxed, you know, there's no real pressure attached, and you get to meet and have the crack and go back in old times and have a few drinks together.
Yeah,
you know, so, and you don't actually get that many opportunities to meet up, so it's a great opportunity for us to meet up again and get to see fellas that you wouldn't have seen.
As you say, even for your own teammates, like, I mean, it's not too often you'd get together.
No.
In these occasions, you know, and especially in the county level like that, you know you have a couple of years in the limelight, and you're kind of going your own ways after that. It's not like the club where you're people you grew up with and you were friends for life and all, but these inter-county players you knew for a couple of years, and that was kind of it, really, wasn't it, for
you
a lot
do,
of them.
And look, you actually go through so much together for whatever length of time your inter-county career lasts, you know. You know, you're living in each other's pockets for X amount of years, and like you said, Eric, you know you part your ways, you go back to your club, you finish out with your club. Once your club finishes, you're always bumping into your club mates, but like that, you very rarely get to meet guys that you soldiered with a number of years ago at a higher level.
So to be exciting, so it'll be an exciting time. Good,
definitely.
And Kevin, right, like you've both sides full of legends here, household names on both sides. Just tell the listeners there some of the people that are coming.
Yeah, and I suppose the Cork Water rivalry is a strong rivalry and a healthy rivalry, but I think it's unique in Yall because there's hardly family in Yall that doesn't have connections on both sides.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
yeah.
It is unique to Yall. Maybe Tallaght might be in a similar boat as well. And we saw that when these games were on. We had Moby Dick appearing outside the boat of the River Blackwater, and we had signs hanging off rock faces over there by Round Croonor. But there was all kinds of stuff going on, but all in a good friendly banter. You know. So I actually haven't got the teams in front of me, but you're on the Cork side, you've obviously got Donal O'Cusick, you've got The Rock, Sean O'Halpine, Joe Dean himself, Tom Kenny, all these household names. And then Waterford side, you know, Clinton Hennessy, local man, two Prendergast local men again from Ardmore, Ron Murphy, Ken McGrath's going to be managing the team, Tony Brown, absolute legend of the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
He played till he was 41, I think, in the county. He's probably now about 45, 46 years. Is he put there?
22-year span inter-county career, Tony.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody that could lay claim to that kind of a career span. So, you know, John Milan is named on the team. Dan Shanahan, do you know what I mean? Goal scoring legend.
Yeah.
These are, you know, guys that would be picked on any inter-county team in the country at any time.
And a lot of big characters there as well when they were playing.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, I think it's worth mentioning as well, like, the response was great, but there's also guys there that couldn't play for whatever reason, like health reasons, injuries, replaced hips, things like that. Which, you know, but they still, the likes of Ken McGrath, his brother Rowan, who had his hip replaced, James O'Connor had their hip replaced, they wanted to be involved and wanted to be here. So they're part of the management team. And then on the other side, you're Brian Corcoran again doing the same, you know.
Yeah.
Even though he couldn't tag out and play, he said he'd love to be here. So he's part of the back room and the management team on the Cork side, you know,
just
part of it as well.
And isn't it a sad thing when you see that young men, you know, with those kind of injuries, like at that, you know, it just goes to show the commitment that's involved from these and the price they pay for playing an amateur game. Like
that's the inter-county game maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, Eric, you know, with the intensity that's involved now. You know, what's down the line for guys that are playing presently? Like I heard Noel Connors at an interview at the weekend where he said inter-county careers, he can only see him lasting maybe 8 years, you know, because of the intensity and what's involved. So, you know, with that sort of intensity and hitting and banging, you know, what kind of injuries are these going to have?
Exactly, like, and when you just talked about Tony Brown there, like 22 years, and you like to Brian Corcoran and a jewel star. You know, like those days are gone, long gone, I think, at this stage. So it just makes seeing these fellas in the flesh that little bit more special, Kevin, isn't it?
Absolutely. Like, you know, the commitment that these guys make as amateurs, you know, during their playing careers, and to some extent, I suppose, they pay a price, a little bit of a price for being amateurs after their playing careers.
Yeah.
Like when these guys play at the weekend, and in many cases, they might have had to play more than once at the weekend, they can't take one day off to go into a recovery session or, you know, as professional semi-professional outfits might do. They're back work Monday morning, and I suppose that takes its toll as well. As well as the fact hurling is obviously a summer game played on hard pitches, and then the level of training now and the commitment to these guys, like they're trained to almost semi-professional level, but they're amateurs. So unfortunately, some guys do have lingering injuries afterwards that need treatment, but thankfully, it doesn't happen that often.
So, tell me about the game. So it takes place next Sunday.
Correct.
Yeah. Where, when?
It's on at 6 o'clock up in Magnus Hill. It'll be preceded by an underage blitz at 5 o'clock. The gates will be open at 4:30. We really are hoping people will come early because we are expecting a very big crowd. The weather forecast is looking very promising. We have a lot of event sales of tickets. So if people turn up as they might to a local game at 10 minutes before throwing, that's going to cause problems. For all of us as stewards and for themselves as well. They'll be rushing trying to get in. So really, we would hope that people would come no later than 5:30. Certainly from 5 o'clock onwards, that would be a big help. So underage at 5, main game on at 6, we'll have a guard of honour, we'll have a parade before the game. We've an awful lot of stuff planned. The game is actually going to be played over three 20 minute periods,
right?
And we've stuff organised in those breaks then as well, penalty competitions, 65 competitions, interviews, a lot of stuff going on.
It's not going to be our typical game, so really, like, you know, there's going to be a lot of cracking that as
there
well.
Of course,
there'll be a little bit of needle and edge there as well. There's no doubt about that, going by the man alongside us, you, I should say, anyway, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know,
that
never goes away, that streak, that winning mentality never goes away, whether you like it or not. So there's going to be a little bit of that as well, I'm sure. But all in good.
Most of these guys are still in very good shape, so it's going to be a real game. You know, it's not going to be played with championship fervour.
Yeah.
But, like, guys' pride is at stake. Like, so guys will want to try and get one over on that. The scores at the moment, the scores in the doors are very close. Yeah. We add it all up.
Yeah,
somebody
yeah.
said today that if you, they played 11 times during the noughties. And to be fair to Waterford, they're actually ahead. They won 5, Cork won 4, and there were 2 draws. I think when you add all the scores together, combine them over the 11 games, Cork are ahead by 1 point.
Really, it is that close.
So that'll tell you, both of those things tell you how close this rivalry was in the match.
And you know, and it is a special rivalry, I think, Peter, isn't it, between Cork and Waterford, you know, especially the last 10, 20 years when, you know, it was so close, both teams.
That's the key thing, Eric, was the closeness of the games, you know, the team, you know, you'd win one, you'd lose one, the draws, the quality, the, you know, and I suppose this would be a good time to mention, like, in fairness to Kevin, he's put a big effort into the programme in relation to going back on all the games and getting reports and stuff. I think for anyone that does go, a must-buy is the programme.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's great quality. It's all in colour. Loads of match reports come back to here. It's only for €3. But I actually had a glimpse of it myself this evening. And you actually forget some of the games. You know, you're trying to, gee, I don't remember. That looked like it was a great game. 2:17 to 2:15, I think it was a Munster semi-final in 05 or 06. And I just couldn't. So it's great to read up on it. But like that, it kind of started with in 2002. But I think it was the amount of times that they actually met then. I think there was a couple of years where they might have met in a Munster championship and met later then, like 05 would have been a Munster and All-Ireland serious match. And 07 then there was 3 times, and each, you know, each game better than the next, you know, they're all classics, like. And I think in that middle of the decade period, you know, the quality of it, and when you say rivalry, like, you know, it wasn't a fierce rivalry where we hated each other, how often they met, and how it was so uncommon to have so many classics, like, you know.
Yeah, and that is the thing about it. It you know, there was never a hatred there, you know, which is unusual, I suppose, for such an intense rivalry. Yeah. But you know, there was a great respect there on both sides, I think.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, when we're so close to each other, and a lot of the lads would have crossed paths, you know, as East Cork, West.
Played with each other in UCC and college.
Exactly.
And stuff,
yeah. So I suppose it was that special relationship there as well, and it's great now, as I say, Kevin, just to come and kind of culminate this weekend and meet together like that. So it's going to be a great day out.
It's going to be fantastic, you know. And the style of hurling that they played is not so common today, you know. Things have evolved, the game has evolved, and I suppose there's more at stake. Not that there wasn't an awful lot at stake back then, but they did play with a certain kind of abandon, and do you know what I mean? There were high scoring games. I think probably defence coaches of today would look back and say, wouldn't be playing the game that way again.
Yeah.
But it was the way the punter loved, and you know what I mean? And games were in doubt up to the end. Anything could happen at the end of the game. You know, 3-4 goals per side. You know, it's very rare you see that today. So, as I say, so it's great to get these guys back. You know, we're really looking forward to it. We're delighted they're coming to you all. We have, there's lots of stuff on during the day for kids and things as well. So we'll cater for everybody. Oak Loge are hosting a championship preview night in the clubhouse after it. So obviously a lot of the players who are taking part will be taking part in that, as well as Donal O'Grady and Tomás Mulcahy, who are both involved with RTE, are going to be on the podium. Kevin Hennessy from Middleton, who's a tremendous character at these events, he's going to be there as well. So that's all done, and that's free of charge, but we would be hoping people might make a donation towards Oak Loge. They're hosting the Fela coming up in a few weeks' time. So, but that's another add-on. So people will stay on. We're having music in the bar afterwards, and so it's
a whole afternoon and evening's entertainment there. So and it's only €10 to get into the game, is it?
€10,
which is very enough.
And again, 5 for juveniles and under 12s are free.
And the important thing again, it is for the all cancer.
That's a sport,
So that's brilliant, guys. Thank you very much for coming in. It was a pleasure having you, and looking forward to the game next Sunday. Cheers, guys.